So we know, if you've been following the news, this last week has been a really kind of heartbreaking week, right? In the news, last Sunday, some crazy man walked into a nightclub in Orlando, Florida, and just started spraying bullets everywhere. About 50 people were killed, dozens more were injured, and as expected, you know, a huge firestorm lit up on social media, and everyone was just kind of blaming things, right? Blaming guns, blaming radical Islam, blaming terrorism, blaming governments, blaming intolerance. All of this stuff was going, and even political candidates were blaming one another, trying to get the one up on what had happened, because it was a really shocking and horrifying and terrible news. But you know, not anyone, actually no one, is able to really speak on the news about the true root problem of it all. Because the root problem, I believe, is sin. It's a spiritual problem. And so that's going to be left aside while everyone else talks about everything else. There was this one author, his name is Malcolm Muggeridge, and he had this really nice quote. He said, "The depravity of man is at once the most empirically verifiable reality, but at the same time, the most intellectually resisted fact." Let me say that again. The depravity of man is at once the most verifiably empirical reality, but at the same time, the most intellectually resisted fact. As we mentioned last week, we were talking about the atonement, what Jesus did on the cross and how Christians over the centuries have thought about it. So what we're going to do right now, for the benefit of those who weren't there, a quick little recap, okay? And the recap is basically the recap of Christian history. We begin in the early Christian age, the early church under Roman rule. They used to think of the atonement of Jesus in terms of metaphors, military metaphors. They said that because of sin, mankind was held in bondage to the devil until such a time that he would be given a ransom through Jesus' life, right? And so they began to think about the death and the victory of Christ in this way. They said that Jesus, by his death, lured and deceived the devil into killing him, but little did the devil know that Jesus was in fact God incarnate. And so when he received his ransom, he was completely undone and unraveled. He wasn't able to do anything. And so people, ancient Christians, began to think about the atonement of Jesus that way. And it's not very long until you have the Christianity being the state religion, right? And there was such a thing as a Christian empire, and all of these hierarchies and all of these strong powers, you know, became a part of the Christian church. And they began to think that, no, it's ridiculous that we have this ransom to the devil idea, because the devil has no rights in a universe that's governed by God. They thought it was ridiculous that anything should be rendered over to the devil, much less Jesus himself, if God, in fact, is supreme over all. And so the 11th century bishop named Anselm of Canterbury, he said that that actually sin is not us being bound to the devil. It's us dishonoring God. We've dishonored the high king, the great ruler, so much that he requires a satisfaction for sin. And so this is what he said, and we went over this at the retreat. If the heavenly kingdom must be filled with men, and if this cannot happen unless satisfaction is made for sin, satisfaction which no one can make but God, and no one ought to make but man, then it is necessary for the God-man to make it. And so that's what they thought during the medieval era. Christians were like, okay, satisfaction of God's honor rendered to God. And it's around the time of the Reformation or the Renaissance that we have basically what our understanding of the gospel is. For us Protestants, and that's that man fell into sin and we owed God a penalty that we could not pay, and so Jesus became our penal substitute who bears the wrath and curse of God on our behalf. That's sort of the understanding that we have today of the atonement. But you know, that's become now a problem for a lot of modern thinkers. There's a lot of people who don't like the idea that the Father would somehow punish the Son, because it sounds like divine child abuse, as some people call it. They don't like the idea that the cross is such a violent thing and that all these things need to be given up to God you know, in order to for him to be satisfied. They think that it's gross that God would be such a bloodthirsty deity. There's even this pastor in Minnesota. His name is Gregory Boyd, and he so hates the idea that we understand as the gospel, and he thinks that no one should ever believe in it. And he puts it this way. He tells this little story. He says, suppose that you were just minding your own business one day and somebody came up to you and said, oh, hey, friend, I have a reliable tip that there's a guy named Bruno and he's coming after you. And his plan is to kidnap and torture you for all eternity